Sun Drifter off their album Visitations. That's Light Worker. Before that, and the commercials, you heard part one of an interview I did with Sun Drifter at the Small Stone Showcase at Lambert's Barbecue in Austin, Texas, during South by Southwest. And if you don't know the exquisite torture of going to a barbecue restaurant, what is normally a barbecue restaurant, and watching a show there as the smell of barbecue, which is now embedded into every fabric and piece of wood in the restaurant, comes to meet you, only to have the restaurant be closed. Well, friends, you don't know the exquisite hell that is going to exactly what I just described. It's really something. I mean, I would definitely go there again, and I definitely wanted to eat barbecue from there, but for it not to be open is a torturous, terrible thing. Showcase, though, very good. But the delicious smell, I'll never not be able to smell how delicious it was. And pine for the delicious, tasty meat that I'm probably wishing I was eating right now. Although I'm probably having a ham right now, since this is pre-recorded. And ham is delicious. I've gotten off topic. So I aired part one of the interview I did with Sun Drifter. So let's put on part two for you to listen to and enjoy with your ear holes. So keep it locked. This is Grade A Explosives, CJLO 1690 AM.
Well, I was doing research for this.
Yes.
And I went to your Bandcamp, and I was looking at the new record. And one of the tags that you have is Ancient Alien Theory.
Yes. 100%.
Yes!
Which
Ancient Alien Theory.
Now the air is getting good. Now
which,
the air is getting
yes.
good.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Reptilians on the move.
But this leads me to believe that the record, either one of two things. Either one, you guys are geniuses at trying to get people to notice things. Or two, this record has like a larger theme to it. Which one is more correct?
It's a little of both in there, yeah.
I think it has a bigger theme to it than what it might come across. Definitely super into like, ain't that, you know, the show Ancient Alien. I got Giorgio Sulaco's tattooed on my leg.
Really?
So, yeah, that's a real thing. The meme Aliens. So yeah. I got it right.
Yeah.
But,
it's a real thing. That's a commitment.
Big fan of that.
That is commitment.
Love, like, the conspiracy podcast. Just going deep, homeboy, dropping the truth bombs.
This. When I read that, I'm like, this sounds like what happened was.
Yeah.
Someone was on YouTube looking up something, and then it just rabbit holed all the way down.
No, from there.
Ancient alien theorists believe
voices of skull
control. Okay? There are satellites that are out there getting in there with those X-rays.
When I'm not playing with these guys, I'm just going down deep, deep, dark, like trying to find out, you know, the nature of reality. Why are we here? What is the meaning to all this? And you know, sometimes like when we're in like a practice room and we're just jamming, sometimes when we're writing new stuff, which is happening,
a light will appear.
Hey, you know, it happens. It's we'll be jamming. It's almost like it's between the three of us. It's like just a mental connection that sometimes I go back and I'm like, man, it's like magic. You know what I mean? They're just like things just happen. Maybe there's things outside of our realities that are influencing us or connecting us. You know? Who knows? The truth is out there.
Do you ever see the movie The Fifth Element? Bruce Willis? All right. So the girl's got like the light shining out of her face and then stops the thing.
Sci-fi nerds.
It's basically that. And then our song Lightworker, like that's it. It's like boo doo 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 ba ba boo 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 boop. Stop a planet.
Yeah.
Boom.
If you want to go deep with us, we can do
all
that
day.
All
day.
This sounds like a very Travis Barker type situation here. Taking all the funding from the band and throwing it into trying to prove these Bigfoot theories.
No, that was Tom DeLonge.
Oh, Tom, you're right.
Tom, yeah.
My mistake.
Hey,
see? See, there's the integrity right there. Failed.
That's okay.
We gotcha. We're keeping you on.
I wouldn't have known. It's all Pat.
Let's talk a bit about physical and digital in today's age. Now, obviously, like, you guys are on Small Stone, and Small Stone has a very large, I'd say, contingency that are all about the vinyls.
Yes.
But of course, you know, digital things don't break physically like vinyl things do. What are your guys' thoughts on the kind of debate of physical versus digital?
He's going to tell you the whole process that we did. I'm just going to tell you straight up. In my life, I have gotten 1,000 more requests for vinyl than I have anything else that we do.
Yeah, yeah.
How many messages have we got? When is vinyl coming out? Are you pressing this to vinyl? Where is the vinyl? I have not been asked for CDs. Yeah. I have not been asked for cards. I have not been asked. Like, they'll want links to our stuff. But, and again, it was totally new to me. I'm not in this world. But vinyl is like...
It's because vinyl is the optimal physical medium. Like, really, if somebody wants a tangible artifact, if you will, to retain for the ages of our music, then I think vinyl, visually and audibly, is the best version of what we have to offer.
It's the product, like, in the hand, you know? Like,
you can look at it, you can listen to it. Both are better than the alternatives.
You went to the store, you got the CD store, you got the booklet, you're reading the lyrics, this and that. People don't do that anymore. Just don't. They're on the iTunes, they're on this, they're on the phone, they're on their YouTube, they're going to listen to you, decide if they like you in 3 seconds, and then see you later.
Which isn't to naysay the utilitarian aspect of streaming or any other digital way of consuming music, but
they definitely balance out. We put our album Visitations out originally digitally, and then, you know, a couple of YouTube channels picked it up, put it out there. We started to roll things, and I was gonna, you know, we originally self-released Visitations just on Bandcamp and Spotify, and people started pouring in with requests for vinyl. Our buddy Derek Kelly wouldn't stop. Every time we'd post something, I'd be, when's the vinyl? When's the vinyl? When's the vinyl? So thank God, you know, Scott messaged us and was like, let's do this, you know, let's put this
the
bad boy
facilitator
on wax, you know?
Everything as possible.
Cargo Records pressing a beautiful, clear vinyl, 180 grams.
Do you see it on Instagram? People will tag the vinyl on Instagram, so we'll see people in Germany, wherever, Europe. They're not doing that for like a Spotify listen or a CD thing. They're not
they
like,
do sometimes.
Sometimes.
It doesn't look as good.
But yeah, but like they want to show you their record player, their home, or whatever.
Lots of underground Instagram vinyl poop.
Do you think it's kind of the nature of the music you guys make, or kind of like a larger kind of push within rock music?
I think like the whole... I feel like stoner rock and stoner doom definitely gets a lot of influence from like 70s or like kind of Black Sabbath days, you know what I mean? I think there's kind of like maybe like, you know, people kind of going back to that era, and a part of that era was vinyl records.
Yeah.
So, and I've heard like articles about how vinyl's competing with digital sales and even beating it. So
I mean, for a while now, it's been crazy, like how it's been going.
I don't even have a record player.
Yeah.
But we got records. This guy works. Paul works at a record.
The thing that's so weird now is like this push for cassettes, which people are doing, which is like,
oh yeah,
we got a couple of those.
We got some cassettes from Self Cave Records in Indonesia. He hit us up and we're like, hell yeah. So we got some cassettes and shipped them from Indonesia, and we got 50 of them, and we sold out of those. So that was really cool too.
That's wild. Like, I thought we all agreed when CDs came out, like, cassettes are done. We're never going back to that.
I still have a lot of CDs.
Walkman.
Yeah, I haven't ditched my CD collection yet.
Yeah, I haven't either. I can't part with it.
It does take up significantly less space than a record collection, which is fair.
When you lose your, you know, your iTunes on your computer, you still can go back to the CD or vinyl, so that's really cool.
I can rip those all again.
Yeah.
Those are the benefits. Yeah.
Well, you guys are here at South By playing. Is this your first South By? Have you...
Your first time in Austin.
How has it been so far?
Amazing.
It's a hoot. Awesome.
Great city. Beautiful city.
Are you guys here for longer than just today, or are you going to be...
We're boogieing out tomorrow.
Huh.
We're hitting a couple of shows on the East Coast. Charleston, South Carolina, and Wilmington, Delaware. And then we're heading back to our cold New England weather.
It's going to be slightly less than 1 foot of snow when we get back after a week. Maybe.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe. I mean, that's my hope when I get back to Montreal. There'll be less than, like, 6 inches of ice everywhere. Damn you, Montreal.
Le habitants. Sorry. I'm going to give you a Canadian's reference there.
That's all right. That's fine.
I'm a little jacked up. We're talking about Canadians right now. Thank you.
what's the plan then for you guys for like the rest of the, do you have like a larger like spring tour that you're going to do? Is there like, are you planning on writing some new things? What's kind of the 2019 agenda, as it were?
I think a lot of that is right now we're in the process of writing some new material. We've got a few songs, you know, working that up. We're heading out to Las Vegas to play Planet Desert Rock version 2. The night we're playing is with Red Fang.
John
Garcia will be there, of Caius, one of my all-time favorite bands. And
Radio Moscow.
Awesome. Yeah, Radio Moscow, a lot of great bands.
Big boys.
But other than that, we got some shows. We got some really cool hometown shows in Boston. We always love that, you know, playing that. And write some stuff. Maybe later on in the year, we'll start tracking some stuff. We'll see.
Well, you're so close to Montreal, so I have to ask this question. Yep. When are you guys going to, you know, come up and, you know, visit us? You never call. You never write. Oh. What are you doing?
Canadian visitations are going to happen as soon as it's possible.
I like the sound of that.
I tell you.
Machinga just tore it up in there, so I mean, maybe we'll have Machinga in Canada.
Oh, those Vancouverites. There.
Just keep liking, sharing, and, you know, telling your friends about it.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Especially when we come over to your house and then make a record, or no, we'll hang out, and then maybe we'll go to a Montreal Canadiens game, and maybe we do that,
gold.
Yeah. I do live like 2-3 blocks from the Canadian Center, and we do have a recording studio at our station.
Man, yeah, you're my best friend right now.
So,
we just became best friends right now.
I'm not saying.
I might be there when you get back. You're like, oh, wow, my luggage now. There's just so different.
Hey!
So different.
How do you feel about Rush?
Oh, man.
Where is Canadian Rush now?
Well, I'm not a Canadian, you see.
That's right.
I don't have to. I don't have to love Rush with all my heart. Like
I don't either. I just do sometimes.
Montreal is definitely a lot closer than Austin, Texas.
Yes,
that might happen.
Definitely true.
I have my passport. I'm ready to go.
Yep. We have one member ready to go.
Yeah. You got like knobs in that studio. I'm gonna start pushing stuff up and down. They get mad at me. I do that a lot, and I always screw it up.
Hey, this is Nick Burks from Stonecutters, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM. Hoo-yah. We'll be right back.
a CD carved in time, CD album carved in time. That's Stonecutters with Wealth and Power. And before that, you heard the second part of an interview that I did with Sundrifter down at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas in March. And I know I'm late for getting this out. I'm sorry. Okay. Just, I had to finish Metal March and do all kinds of stuff. My apologies. But I played that Stonecutters track. I know you might be saying, wait, Sundrifter, what does that have to do with Stonecutters? Well, Stonecutters also played at two showcases that I got to go to down at South by Southwest. One was for Big Daddy's Hot Sauce, headlined by Goat Whore. In case you are unfamiliar with Big Daddy's Hot Sauce, they make things, hot sauces for bands like High on Fire, I Hate God, Venomous Maximus, Goat Whore, a headliner, you see. Connected, very good. Fu Manchu, I think, also was one. I'm pretty sure that's right. I'm fairly sure that's right. Anyway, I got to see Stonecutters not play there, but I interviewed them at that showcase, and then I saw them at Stoner Jam, which happens at the Spider House Cafe, and is just full of just so many bands. Like, 40 bands played there. It's nuts. Just a band is playing at all points in time. It's crazy, you guys. It is crazy. Now, I say that I interviewed Stonecutters, but that's not entirely true. I set up the interview and then handed it off to my good friend and co-host for the month, Satan, who sat down and chatted with them. So here's part one of that interview that Satan did with Stonecutters here on Grade A Explosives. Keep it locked.
Hey, everybody. This is Satan, and I'm here at South by Southwest again because, you know, you humans throw a good party when you want to.
Satan.
I'm here with some special gentlemen. I'll let them intro themselves because even though I obviously know all of their names and everything they've done throughout their lives, it's better to let them talk about themselves. I will tell you that they are in an amazing band, Stonecutters, and I'll let them tell you what they do in the band. So, gentlemen, start off wherever you want and tell the people what you do in this band.
All right, we're actually at a pentagram table right now to give you a visual. So we're gonna start going clockwise around the pentagram.
All right.
I'm Kevin, Four String Thunder.
Yeah, Big Kevy, Heavy Kevy, also known as Instagram celebrity KevCam. check out new season coming this fall. My name is Nick Burks. I do some vocals and then I do some guitar.
I love playing words.
Hey, thank you, Satan.
All right. Brian Homer J. Simpson, and I play guitar and vocals also.
Ooh. Chris Smith, drums, and also whenever needed, the graphic design and flyer and all that kind of visual Yay. Work for the band. So
give it up for creativity. Give it up for Christopher.
DIY.
Yeah.
I apologize in advance because I hear that some of you are sick, and that's, you know, partially my fault. It's from thousands of years ago, but you know, I like to apologize when needed.
I mean, you're killing it with all those ancient diseases being awoken again.
That's well,
badass,
you know,
as hell.
I thought that measles was gone, but yeah. I mean, you guys have done well with anti-vaccination things, so
yeah,
like that's
yeah.
back now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
polio.
Yeah.
It's polio.
Yeah,
it's
so we see where that evil's emanating from. It's just
yeah.
not.
Well, it's good to find
Cretans.
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought
just stupid humans.
I thought I was done with it, but like you guys have done enough on your own. Like
yeah.
sometimes I don't even have to do anything.
Yeah,
that makes me
sit back
good.
And laugh.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
play, right?
like, yeah.
It's kind of crazy because humans are like getting worse than Satan nowadays. It's pretty insane. Man.
Oh, free will is just a great thing for you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
For me too, but
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
well, not as much for you guys. Not great, but you know,
yeah.
I like to profit from it when I can.
Can you give us a timestamp on when the plagues might be thawing out from the polar ice caps?
Well, I could. But, you know, surprises have the fun.
Yeah,
you know?
Spoiler
like
alert.
To, exactly. I know how you guys like your Netflix generation
yeah.
and, you
yeah.
know, like do spoiler things.
Yeah, we'll binge watch it. You should, hey, Satan, do like a Netflix series on like all the stuff you've done.
That'd be
awesome. Man.
It'd be so long, and I don't know if people would be that interested,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah,
like,
it wouldn't test well.
Like they'd out for 20 or 30 seasons?
Yeah, yeah. It wouldn't test well with like Netflix crowd. You know?
Well, let's talk about you guys.
Yeah, let's
minute.
Do it.
Enough about you,
hey, enough about Satan.
Even though I know all about you guys, let's start off and do some really basic things.
Yeah.
Andrew, who normally does this show,
likes to ask bands, so I'm going to keep in tradition with what he does.
Thank you.
I expect that by the time bands talk with me, they've already done a bunch of interviews. So what's one thing you are tired of answering or don't want to be asked? If I have it on this list, I'll strike it. You will not have to answer it.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Man. Well, I think you actually answered this the other day. So what's the name of the band?
What's the name of the band?
Really? People have been like, what's the name of your band?
I swear to Satan this happens. It's so frustrating.
I swear to you that this happens.
I swear to you that this happens. Satan? But, the people go, so what's your band name called? And that's immediately, I'm like, okay, I'm going to take over this interview, and I'm going to ask good questions, and you're going to answer. I'll flip the interview. It's great. It's like iconoclast.
I love to see those kind of things happen. They're one of my favorite things to
watch. What's the craziest dream you've ever had? My favorite one I always flip on interviews, I go, what's your favorite soundcheck riff? And they go, oh. And like, they just sit there, they're like, I don't know, man, there's a lot of them out there. Shout out to the Netflix generation for being so ADD, you can't play a whole song. All right.
I would say, what's your favorite color?
Okay.
Yeah. Like, why does that matter?
That.
Yeah.
All right.
Anything else goes. Yeah.
So, what's your band name?
Yes.
And what's your favorite color?
Yes.
All right. Questions 41 and 72. I'll strike from the list. All right.
Those are way back there, so you're doing good.
I like to make it very unstable.
Yeah.
Interview for people.
Random chaos.
Yeah, you know, that's how it goes. You know, chaotic neutral, chaotic bad. You know, it's all.
We're into that. We're into that. Murphy's Law, you know.
Let's talk about you guys, though.
Yeah, let's do it.
You guys are mixing a lot of a couple of different genres that I'm picking up on. I'm a jazz man myself.
Oh, nice. Nice, cool.
But I hear that
I heard you invented that.
I did.
Yeah.
I like many things. But I hear you guys are mixing a lot of, like, doom and hardcore things, and I when I listen to things that are metal, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the sound that you guys started with, or is that something you kind of grew into?
Well, let's pass it on.
It's evolved for sure.
It's it's progressed with every record, and we kind of have a label because the word stone is in our name, so we always kind of play with stoner bands.
We play with stoner bands to grind bands.
Yeah, but
we mix it up. We can.
But we'll play with like Deicide, Sacred Reich, National Pussy,
Gwar.
Yeah, it's all over the place, and we like it that way because we just can't focus
broader,
on anything.
Broader band of people to
I'm all about it. Exploiting people, corrupting them, you know, stuff I learned from you, obviously.
Well,
so,
you know,
I'm giving you the devil horns right now.
I like to be a good role model. I mean, good.
Yeah, we're using air quotes.
Air quotes, yeah, you know.
I'm just doing that's my job, man. I'm just doing my job. Here I am. Yeah.
let's talk about, what was it like kind of to write the last record? Was it easy for you guys? Was it kind of a natural progression for what you're doing? What kind of was that
both
like?
Both. It was
I think it was, I mean, I thought it was just like, I sat there with an acoustic guitar. You made those too.
Right.
Yeah, Satan made those.
Well, electric. But, yeah. You know,
Grandpa's
guitars. He made those.
Right.
Yeah. Give yourself some credit. So I wrote a lot of the riffs just like on an acoustic guitar, and then I kind of had like ideas in my head, and then I would like record those parts and then add another guitar in there, and then I get with Brian Omer, the other guitar player, we kind of just like figure out arrangements and figure out what we wanted to say, and we're really really proud of this one. It's just like definitely my favorite thing we've done, and it's just been an awesome ride so far. And we can't wait to we played Carved in Time all the way through in the month of February. Right now on Earth, it's the month of March,
right.
The year of our foul Lord 2019.
Right, of course.
Yeah, but back in February we did Carved in February, where we played the whole record front to back, and it was really satisfying to play every song on there. There wasn't any like snoozer songs or anything like that. We're from Kentucky, by the way. So there you go.
Well, I was going to talk to you about being from Kentucky.
Yeah.
Because Kentucky is not exactly known for a lot of metal things. It's known for more like, you know, bluegrassy type things like that.
Yeah.
So are you guys kind of an anomaly from Kentucky? What's the music scene like in the city?
There's actually a pretty good metal scene in Kentucky, in Louisville.
All right.
Yes. We're pretty strong one right now.
Yeah, without the support of our hometown, we wouldn't be here right now talking to you, Satan.
Right.
So shout out to the humans that got us here. And it's a really great scene. There's some doom bands, there's some thrash bands, there's some power metal bands, there's some black and tech death. There's all sorts of stuff there, and it's really cool that people come out regardless of it, and there's no like isolated things or elitist things going on. Everybody's super cool with each other. And I can tell when you're new to that scene in Louisville, you're kind of like, whoa, man, everybody's just like freakishly normal and nice. It's pretty cool, man. So, and everyone's really accepting towards like whatever style.
Yeah, and to buttress that point, us being here in Austin, I've heard the juxtaposition of Austin to Louisville being pretty, you know, comparative. So, yeah, like Louisville and Lexington are kind of diamonds in the rough when it comes to metal. I'd say like there's more of the Dooner Stone vibe coming from Lexington.
Yeah,
even though it's pretty much, you know, diamonds in the rough, it's a really nice, close-knit group that Omer here throws together Metal Monday at one of our dive bars tap room. And it's just a ton of people that come out for that every Monday night. It's a free show. The band still get paid and hooked up. And it's, what, like probably 2 or 3 months out that you're booked?
Yeah, it's booked like September. 6 months.
Yeah. And then we'll like house the bands and, you know, like hang out with them, take videos of them while they're sleeping, you know, just like pretty normal stuff.
Yeah, you know, normal.
Kentucky stuff, yeah.
It's weird because what you're saying sounds a lot like what's also happening. I talked to Andrew about what's going on in Montreal in the metal community, and it's very kind of diverse there as well. Though it seems like more in Austin, and I guess more the bands I talked to from the South, it seems like more of the musical genres, well, subgenres.
Sure, yeah. Let's be proper with the labels,
right?
Please.
Of course.
Thank you.
All of them kind of like will band together in a way that Montreal is not used to. Like if you are part of like the stoner genre, you don't really mix with the tech death kids.
Yeah.
Of course, black metal kids are in the corner because they're better than all of us.
Yeah, of course, man. Lords of Lifetime. I love that movie.
Yeah, Louisville's
really
so multicultural in that aspect. Like, if you can't play with like the other genres, like, I don't think that there's enough of a niche support for just like the uber black metal people or this or that. Like, some buddies of mine, actually a roommate, in a westernized power metal band called Stagecoach Inferno. They would be hard pressed to find other western power metal bands to play with if they were to be elitist about it. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me pause for a minute here. By western power metal, you mean a band that is doing western themed?
Yes,
like Cowboys.
But in the vein of like Iron Maiden and Thin Lizzy. Check them out.
Yes, I'm gonna look into that immediately.
Yeah,
shameless plug from my boys.
Hey, I'm actually booking their tour. Let's just do plugs.
Well, you know who they are. Yeah, we just gotta listen to their music.
I mean, I have so many things to sort through.
Yeah,
you know, like there's all the information that's going on from all the governments.
Yeah,
and, like just so much. You guys are doing.
Yeah, the dark web's crazy right now, man. There's a lot of stuff on there.